Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Our quote for the day from Franklin D. Roosevelt: when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Well, maybe that's what Tim Geithner's up to. He just gave a speech. He's talking about the Troubled Asset Relief Program and reinventing the thing. I don't know. Maybe we're going to start calling it the Troubled Relief Asset Program. TRAP instead of TARP. Let's check in with our favorite economist, the professor of economics at Southern Methodist University, the author of a number of brilliant books, including Greenspan's Fraud and the New Golden Age, and, of course, his website, Ravi Batra, RAVIBATRA.com, where you can find out all sorts of information as well as information about his books. Dr. Ravi Batra, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
It seems to me, Ravi, that the 800-pound gorilla, or whatever metaphor, you know, cliche you want to use in the room that's not being discussed, is the fact that there's somewhere between $600 and $900 trillion worth of derivatives out there floating around that are still unregulated. Bill Seidman talking about how in the 1980s, when he invented these things with the Resolution Trust, he essentially begged Greenspan to regulate them and begged Reagan to have the SEC, or maybe it was Bush 1, to have the SEC at the very least disclose the quantities. The industry pushed back like crazy, and Greenspan said no. There's no discussion of this. There's very little discussion this morning about the fact that the Fed has already guaranteed, as if my read on this is right, $6 trillion worth of credit in various forms. And, of course, Tim Geithner used to be the head of the New York Fed. And you could derive a whole series, I suppose, of conspiracy theories from my initial observations. What's your take on all this, and what are your thoughts on my thoughts here?
My take is that they are looking at the wrong place for the problem. The problem is not that much in the banking sector. The problem is at the bottom of the economy. People at the bottom have no purchasing power, and they can't pay back their loans anymore. They have borrowed a lot of money, and the government pushed them into borrowing it. In fact, lured them into borrowing so much money. Now the banks are not getting being paid back. That's the real problem. And throwing money to the banks is not going to work, because why would a bank lend money to somebody who has no collateral left anymore? I mean, people don't have collateral anymore. Home equity is already used up. Yeah. Their wages are falling. Jobs are being lost. So why would banks lend money in such an economy and take more risk on? So many banks have already failed. Many more are going to fail. The banks know that. And the government keeps pushing them to lend more and more money, and they are going to give them money to do that, which is just a wastage. They're wasting time and money. Why not do something that helps people at the bottom of the ladder? That's where the problem is. That's what they should be doing. And, you know, I've noticed something very interesting today. When the government talks about pumping money into the banks, then the market jumps. But today they are talking about Wall Street getting involved in helping out the banks, and the government will only provide insurance money. And look at what the market is doing. These people are leeches.
Yeah, the market's down 290 points right now, for our listeners who don't know. And it dropped 300 points while Geithner was talking. Right. Right. So bottom line, let me reinterpret this, if I may. We're talking with Dr. Ravi Batra, the professor of economics at SMU and author. Abraham Maslow, the famous psychologist and inventor of humanistic psychology, came up with this, is famously quoted for saying, when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And Tim Geithner was the head of the New York Fed. You've got, and in some ways, arguably the protege of Paulson, who, of course, was the head of Goldman Sachs. And he's surrounded by a bunch of former Goldman Sachs people and other people like that in Citibank, Rubin and Summers and all these guys. And so the only tool that they know of, that they're thinking of, is the only hammer that they have is the banks, the banking system. And there's news reports about how there's this big internal debate within the administration about David Axelrod wanting to essentially punish the banks that failed, as it were, and Geithner saying no, we've got to be make nice with them, but that the real problem is that our economy's not working because wages have not kept up with productivity over the years. As a consequence of that, 28 years of Reaganomics, basically, we've been bleeding dry the middle class, which has been the source of economic prosperity. That prosperity is now gone, and you're not going to get it back by reinflating the banks or reinflating the last bubble.
Exactly. They think the problem is with the banks, so they keep pouring money into the banks. If you have to pour money, then pour it on the middle poor and the middle class.
Right.
Don't help the banks out. Banks are not going to lend money, no matter how much you try, because the economy is in a critical stage. Some people have suggested to me that, in this kind of atmosphere, wages cannot rise. And they may have a point there. So I have suggested a two-point program in the short run. First, we should cut the trade deficit sharply. We keep saying we are losing manufacturing jobs like mad, and yet nobody is talking about cutting the trade deficit.
Right. I am. let's go back to Alexander Hamilton's advice.
In the administration and the established economists.
Right. Right. In fact, in the second hour, we're going to have somebody on from the Heritage Foundation. I'll be debating that. But Ravi, just, for our listeners who aren't up to speed on what just happened and the reason why you and I are having this conversation, let's just very quickly review this. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, just came on TV and gave basically a speech. It was billed as a press conference, but it was a speech. And he read it from the prompter. And they're going to start a new program that it will be jointly run between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. And Geithner's roots are in the Fed, where they're going to bring in some private investors, apparently, in addition to the Treasury and the Fed, to buy these hard to sell assets. Well, this is garbage that was created by criminals who were exploiting the banking system and was sold into the banking system, in many cases to other criminals who were perfectly willing to buy it on the assumption that they could pass it along to somebody else, essentially Ponzi schemes. Why try to save that? My question number one. Number two, he said he's going to directly inject capital into banks, which is what Paulson was doing. Let's give the banks some more money. And, I'd like your thoughts on that. And number three, a vast expansion of this so-called TARP program, although they're going to try to point it at things like student loans and consumer loans. And as you point out, if consumers don't have any collateral and they're not inclined to take on more debt, I don't get it how any of this is going to have any long-term consequence or probably even short-term consequence without fundamentally restructuring our economic assumptions.
You're right. We need fundamental economic reforms, and these people don't want to touch that area because that means all the Wall Street financiers, the bankers, they will have to lose their jobs.
Right.
And wages will have to rise. Profits have to come down because they're extremely high even now. In fact, not just the Geithner's program, but also Obama's stimulus plan, they are going to fail because, 40% of the stimulus plan is in terms of tax cuts.
Right, 42%.
In this kind of atmosphere, when taxes are cut, people are not going to spend. They will either pay off their debt or they will save money.
That's right. And in fact, it's already happening. We're now showing a net 3.6% savings rate in the United States, and we were at a net minus 0.5% just 2 years ago. So it's already happening. American consumers are saying, to hell with spending, I'm going to start saving. I'm going to start paying down my debt.
Exactly. And then they are giving so many tax credits to businesses to create jobs. It's insanity. If consumers are willing to buy products, business, that's the only incentive a business person needs to sell his product, not tax credits. And that will only jack up the budget deficit and not create any new job, because giving labor credit or tax credit to, in the name of small business or whatever, that doesn't create job. Consumer spending will create job.
Yeah,
and they are just going to waste more money. Maybe it's the Republicans who are forcing them to do that, but whatever, this is a system we have.
Robbie, can you stick around for another 10 minutes?
Sure.
I'd like to just wrap this conversation up here. We're talking with Dr. Ravi Batra, RAVIBATRA.com, his website. Check out his books. If you think you're economically literate and you haven't read Ravi Batra's books, you're not. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hey, there are only 4 days left until Valentine's Day. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $39.99. Don't wait to order. The big day is this Saturday, and supplies won't last. ProFlowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days, and ordering from ProFlowers is much easier and faster than standing in line at the florist. This is your last chance to get your roses in free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day for just $39.99. Here's what I want you to do. Go to ProFlowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com, password Hartman. Or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS. And don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with 2 N's.
Ed Schultz.
The landscape of talk in this country, in my opinion, is changing somewhat.
Noon to 3.
It's becoming, okay, what's the issue?
Here's what we know. Nobody's got any money, and nobody's paying their taxes. Those are two things we know that's happening out there that we can talk about.
He's Big Eddie. The Ed Schultz Show.
Now, what side of the aisle are you on? It doesn't matter.
Noon to 3.
Look, you're either paying or you're not paying. You know, you either got money or you don't.
AM 620 KPOJ. Online, 620KPOJ.com.
Nothing like floating in the pool.
Hi there. I'm your local Geico agent.
What are you doing in my swimming pool?
The backstroke.
What?
No. Actually, I'm here to help you save money on your car insurance. I'm in the neighborhood, so if you ever need help, I'm here for you.
In my pool?
Hey, it's good to have me close by. That way you get the same low price Geico is known for, but with the personal service of a local agent.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, you think that's amazing. Watch me do a reverse 3.5 somersault in the pike position.
Nice tuck.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local Geico agent is always close by.
Your local Geico office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local Geico office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
There are some that say now's not a great time to buy, but I say the timing couldn't be more perfect, and my friends at Chevy share my sentiments. So during the Chevy President's Day sale, they're offering great deals on cars, trucks, and crossovers, like the Chevy Malibu LTZ, which offers an EPA estimated 33 mpg highway, or the award-winning 2009 Chevy Silverado, which has earned Car and Driver's Best Pickup in 2007 and 2008. With great financing or cashback deals, these vehicles are ripe for the picking. Now through March 2nd, just head into your local dealer or go to Chevy.com for details.
These days, your budget's really feeling the heat. But Family Fun doesn't have to cost much at all when you make it by the pitcherful with Kool-Aid. For the price of one bottle of soda, you can mix up 5 big pitchers of Kool-Aid. And for pennies a glass, keep the whole family refreshed and smiling. At that price, maybe the whole neighborhood. Kool-Aid instead of soda. As always, delivering more smiles per gallon.
Hello, this is Doug Ault with the American Red Cross, asking you to donate blood and help save a life. Giving blood is easy, and a single donation can help save up to 3 lives. The need is constant, and the gratification is instant. Blood drives are being held in many locations around Portland and Southwest Washington, so please make an appointment to donate blood through the Red Cross. Visit givelife.org or call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule your appointment. That's 1-800-448-3543. Thank you.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Once was a thought inside my head. Before I'd reach 30, I'd be dead. Somehow on and on I go. I keep on.
I used to be convinced I'd be dead by 30.
Louise knows it. That's why she's playing that bumper. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Robbie Batra on the line with us, the award-winning New York Times best-selling professor of economics at Southern Methodist University, RAVIBATRA.com, his website. Robbie, in your book, The New Golden Age, you outline how the crash is going to come, and out of it is going to come some sort of a resurrection of political intelligence. And we've talked before about how the election of Barack Obama is sort of the beginning of that. Yet Tim Geithner seems like he's offering same old, same old. And I'm just curious your thoughts on how the timeline is playing out with regard to your predictions.
Well, I had mentioned in the book that the revolution would start in 2009 with the election of a charismatic leader, and that's what has happened. But then I had already also mentioned that it would take about 5-6 years before old ideas actually die. Mm. And Barack Obama right now really cannot try new ideas because the Republicans have made such a mess of the economy that no matter what we do, it's going to go down the drain and go down fast. So no matter if you try something new, then the new ideas will get the blame for a faltering economy. So really, he shouldn't try anything new, and he's not, which is good, actually, because it's going to fall anyway. I mean, how much mess can be they have made since 1980-81? It has been going on for the past 30 years.
Yep.
So it's going to take another 4 or 5 years before we are out of this mess, and I think by the summer of this year, we will be knocking on the doorstep of a depression.
Yeah, and hopefully at that point, there will be an impetus to change this, to re-understand classic economics and certainly Keynesian economics or Batra economics in my mind, and reinvent at some level our economic system or our economic assumptions certainly.
Well, see, Keynes was actually a great economist. He never recommended that you should constantly have deficits in good times and bad times. He had said that, okay, have deficits in bad times and then have surpluses in good times. So overall, over the business cycle, you have a balanced budget. But these guys, once the Republicans took over, it's amazing. They rail against deficits all the time, and yet they have created the worst deficits and debt of all in history. And this is, it's not, people say it's ideology. No, it's not ideology. It's self-interest. It's selfishness on their part to reward the rich, and in the process they have simply wrecked not just the U.S. economy, but the global economy.
Do you think, sir, that there is any value at all in this TARP program, this Troubled Asset Relief Program, and this so-called bad bank that Tim Geithner laid out this morning?
Really, I mean, if the program was working over the past 1 year, they've been trying it for more than a year now. Mm. If it was working, it would have worked by now. So I don't see any point at all in extending the program, because it gives us an impression that they are doing something, while actual time is being wasted and money is also being wasted. So they should be diverting their attention to cutting the trade deficit, and once the trade deficit falls, our manufacturing sector will immediately revive without the government having to borrow any more money. And once the government sector revives, then we can start, once manufacturing revives, we can then start increasing the minimum wage slowly. And
right,
slowly.
But cutting the trade deficit, I mean, that is what Herbert Hoover tried to do with Smoot-Hawley. And now I think that there's clear evidence that Smoot-Hawley really didn't have any impact at all on the Great Depression. It was only 0.3% of GDP was the change in trade over the 4 years that Smoot-Hawley was in effect, and the change in GDP overall was 45%. So, but you know, there was an attempt to change our trade policies in order to, you know, bring jobs home and revive the American, you know, economy. And it gets nothing but trashed by Republicans and many economists.
Yeah, Smoot-Hawley just got the bad news. That's exactly why I said that Barack Obama should not try anything new. They blamed everything bad on Smoot-Hawley, whereas Smoot-Hawley, as you said earlier, had no responsibility at all. The entire export sector at that time was 4% of GDP.
Right.
If all exports disappeared, even then GDP would fall only by 4%. It fell by 50%. So Smoot-Hawley had no impact at all, but it got the blame from all the economists and other people of selfish interest.
So you're saying politically Obama's best thing is to do these small half measures right now and let it get – he has really no choice. Let it get so bad that the Republicans will have to stop obstructing real efforts at transformation.
Exactly. He should not try anything new right now for political reasons and for practical policy reasons. And even if he does try, it's not going to work because
right. –
So the new policies will get the blame unnecessarily.
Yeah. Fascinating insight. Dr. Ravi Batra, RAVIBATRA.com, his website. Please check it out. It is just brilliant. And his two most recent books, The New Golden Age and Greenspan's Fraud, are must reading, as are all of Dr. Batra's books. Ravi, thanks so much for being with us. Great talking with you. 27 minutes past the hour.
All right.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, Teamster.org, the website, TomHartman.com for our free live chat room, AirAmerica.com for our free live video stream, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, tip of the hat to Drew for passing along an earlier conversation that Tim Geithner had. There must have been practice for this, right? This is... This is the perfect metaphor.
Sorry, we're closing for lunch.
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this parrot what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian Blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's dead. That's what's wrong with it.
Yes, it's dead.
No, guys, it's resting. Look.
Look, my lad, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
No, it's not dead. It's resting.
Resting?
Yeah. Remarkable bird, the Norwegian Blue. Beautiful plumage, isn't it?
The plumage don't enter into it. It's stone dead.
No, it's resting.
All right, then. If it's resting, I'll wake it up. Hello, Polly. I got a nice cuttlefish for you when you wake up, Polly Parrot.
Then it moved.
No, it didn't. That was you pushing the gate.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Hello, Polly.
This parrot is dead. No, he's pining for the fjords. This bank is dead. No, it's just waiting for an investor and a tarp. I suppose it's, it really is serious stuff. The fact of the matter is that millions, over 10 million people arguably over 20 million people are unemployed or haven't even given up. They're not even in the official statistics. They're not looking. They've given up looking for work. There's just no work to be found. We have a disaster going on in the United States. And in the meantime, the Republicans are running around going, we need more tax cuts. We need more tax cuts. And the bottom line with the more tax cuts, well, you know, what's going to happen when you give people tax cuts? As Ravi Bhatra pointed out, as I've been saying all along, you give people tax cuts, consumers, you may see some small stimulus, but mostly what's going to happen is that people are going to pay down their debt with that money. On the other hand, you've got 20 million people who don't have jobs. If you give them a job, then they will start spending that money on things like food and clothing and transportation and those things that will echo out into the economy. Jobs. Put people to work. Now, Michael Steele, the new chair of the Republican National Committee, the RNC, that with they of the upside down stars. Yeah, they still have their stars, the 5-point star upside down, the satanic star on the RNC. But in any case, Michael Steele seems to think that government never created a job. Apparently, he didn't have a job when he was lieutenant governor of Maryland. But in any case, it's just as long as the Republicans continue to hang on to this bizarre ideology, we're going to continue to have this ongoing disaster and all the worse it is and all the worse it is. Mike in Santa Barbara. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Well, you know, I do believe that the government needs to spend to get us out of this mess that Bush has created. But the problem I've got is, you know, there's a saying that goes something like, when you find you've dug yourself into a hole, it's time to quit digging.
Yeah.
And in 2005, January in 2005, my wife and I wrote an article to the local paper called The Seven Deadly Debts. And this is in 2005. Federal debt being the predominant one, you know, trade deficit, personal debt, all that sort of thing, mm-hmm. where we were basically saying, look, we're headed for an economic catastrophe.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that the debt, along with, you know, the karmic debt that we've created around the world and everything, has created this huge mess we've got. But I don't think that I think we need to spend, but we also need to balance the budget. And I think we need to raise taxes on the top 1%. And I'd probably fall close into that group myself, so I'm not looking for any kind of tax credit myself. I think we need to raise taxes on people that make a lot of money because they use most of the infrastructure. But we also need to cut spending in areas where we don't need it, and like getting us out of Iraq right now and cutting the Pentagon budget by like 75%.
Yep. Excellent points all. I just want, you know, I want to tip my hat to you. Very, very well said. The debt issue is a bomb that is exploding in our face. The trade deficit is a large part. All of this tracks back to 1981 when Ronald Reagan was sworn into office. All of it tracks back to Reaganomics, Laffernomics, this whole supply-side economics, Jude Winiski's term. All of this stuff tracks back to this general economic insanity, and now it's blowing up in our face. Carolyn in Los Angeles, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, Tom. Great show. I just wanted to comment on your conversation with your last, your guest.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about, and right away, you came on and you started to, and I haven't had a chance to look at Tim Geithner's program or what he has to offer, but right away he came on and you guys started to criticize his program or his plan.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, we tried that once and it didn't work, you know, and it's not going to work this time. And the way I see it, this whole thing, I mean, it boils down between the wealthy and the middle class in terms of the finance package. You know what? Yeah, they can't, the banks, they can't finance the big adventures for the wealthy people right now, okay, because those were the people who had the big loans. I mean, we got in trouble when they with the housing industry, when they started to give the poor and the middle class people loans that they really couldn't afford. But the bulk of those loans went to people like wealthy people. I'm just going to use, oh, God, I can't even think of his name right now.
Well, let me give you an example, Caroline. In 1903, there was a panic, a financial panic, and a huge stock market crash. And it was referred to as the rich man's panic. You can Google the term. That's what everybody referred to it as, because okay. it was stockholders. It was people in the stock market. It was speculators who were the ones who got nailed and who were freaking out. And I would say that to what we have right now is the rich men have, and a few women, but mostly men, have run off with the goods. They have taken trillions of dollars and run off with it and stashed it away. I mean, look, even doing it the old-fashioned way, like Halliburton, you know, Dick Cheney coming in as vice president, all of a sudden his company that's nearly bankrupt is now worth billions of dollars. Cheney's stock is worth millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars, and they abandon the United States and go reincorporate themselves in the Middle East, you know, so that they don't have to pay taxes and they don't have to keep records. And KBR reincorporating themselves in the Cayman Islands and things like this. What we have is institutionalized theft. And what Tim Geithner is proposing to do, while it's a noble effort, it's a cosmetic effort, in my opinion, it is not even addressing the real problem. The real problem is that the middle class of America, which is what drives the economic engine of this country, doesn't have enough money. They don't have the funds to buy things, and they don't because for 28 years, the average salary, while household incomes have remained relatively stable, the reason why they have is because we've gone to two-worker households and two, and people working two jobs and three jobs, and in some cases in a household, a combination of four and five jobs between two people working. And so while, you know, household income has been relatively stable, individual worker income has been collapsing ever since Ronald Reagan became president. And the consequence of that is that people, in order to maintain their lifestyle, have been going into debt, and they've been borrowing like crazy, and that debt bomb has blown up. And it's just, it's not going to get any better until we address that core issue, Carolyn, which is the fact that we have wiped out the American worker. And we have tapped out the American worker. And the American worker is so now tapped out, so in debt, that if you give them a tax cut, they will use that, which is a fine thing. You know, I'm all in favor of Barack Obama's middle class tax cut. You know, in the early days of the income tax, middle class paid no taxes. It was only the top 1% that paid income taxes. You know, I don't have a problem with going back to that for that matter. But the point is that tax cut, to the extent that it's stimulative, is going to be only minorly stimulative because people will immediately use that money to pay down debt. And that's not going to stimulate the economy. In fact, arguably, if anything, as debt gets paid down, the money supply contracts. And although it's a perverse unintended consequence, that actually increases deflation. And deflation is a fancy word for a depression. Jerry in Miami. Hey, and thanks for the call, Caroline. Jerry, what's up?
Good afternoon, Tom. I have an idea which wouldn't cost the taxpayers money and which would be a boon to both the banks and people who are in trouble with their homes and foreclosures and so on. I'd like to propose this idea and then have your comments.
Okay.
Since we are in uncharted territory at this time, I think uncharted territory calls for uncharted ideas and uncharted solutions. Mm-hmm. My idea to help get the economy going in a big way would be a 50-year 4% mortgage guaranteed by the feds. I think people would be running to the banks to refinance their homes. People who are holding on to their homes to not be foreclosed on would have a chance at monthly payment reduction immediately, thereby precluding any tax reductions or any of these other silly things that the government's trying to do.
You know, Jerry, what you're proposing is pretty much what Franklin Roosevelt did in the 30s, where he bought out, he created a government agency to buy mortgages, because back then most mortgages were five-year balloons, to buy mortgages from middle-class people. And back then, by the way, the middle class was only 15 to 20% of the entire population of the U.S., to buy those mortgages and make them fixed-rate mortgages that could be paid back over a 20- or 30-year period. And when those mortgages, and very well said, and when those mortgages started unwinding, when they were being finally paid off in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, the government ended up actually with a profit on its hands. We could do it again.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
However you say it, make sure you're heard. This Valentine's Day, Zales can help you say I love you like never before. With diamond gifts starting at the incredible price of just $99. Delight your love with a piece of jewelry that sparkles as much as she does. And discover for yourself the amazing values that Zales offers. Love rocks at Zales, America's diamond store since 1924.
Hi, Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is your ally in a bad economy. We'll make sure you're not wasting your money or unknowingly running your vehicle into the ground. We provide value by offering quality service in a logical, prioritized manner, focusing on safety recommendations first, breakdown items next, and then your maintenance needs. Trust is the main reason people use our service. Our clients know we deliver comprehensive, honest, no BS service. We won't sell unneeded or random nonsense. Our service advisors aren't paid sales commission, so you can trust they're recommending services you need, not just building a paycheck. We're an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence facility, and our technicians efficiently service your vehicle right the first time. We offer a no-hassle 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service, and in this economy, our same-as cash financing can help. Let our existing clients tell you why they choose us. Go to our website at tomdwyer.com and watch the detailed client testimonials. And call us at 503-230-2300. Please let us help you preserve your car and your cash.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. At KPOJ, we encourage you to support local progressive businesses and partners of the station. Beginning next month, KPOJ will put the spotlight on progressive businesses in a different neighborhood each month. In March, the Progressive Community Spotlight falls on the Hawthorne District. If you're a Hawthorne business owner who'd like more information on being a part of this feature, call KPOJ at 503-323-6596. That's 503-323-6596.
Art Smart.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up. One serving of Van Gogurt contains the live and active culture your kids need. Buy one, get higher test scores free. And nothing satisfies a child's craving for self-expression like Tchaikovsky's Nutcrackers, now with more music and dance in every bite. Try original flavor or new Sugar Plum Fairy. Feed your kids the arts. Visit AmericansForTheArts.org to learn how. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ed Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
The more you see, the less you know. The less you find out as you go. I knew much more then than I do now. Neon hot day glow eyes. City lit by fireflies. They're advertising in the skies.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and we're preparing to hit the road.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, I ain't got no cigarettes, all but 2 hours of pushing broom.
So on February 26th and 27th, I'll be in Washington, D.C. for CPAC, for the Conservative Political Action Committee.
King of the road.
On March 7th in Seattle, we're doing a one-day cruise, a three-hour cruise. You can get information at am1090seattle.com. On March 19th, Thursday, I'll be in Chicago debating Michael Medved, sponsored by our Chicago affiliate, chicagosprogressivetalk.com. There's an S in there, chicagosprogressivetalk.com. And on Saturday, May 2nd, I'll be a keynote speaker at the Green Festival in Denver, Oregon. Denver, Colorado. Don't try to talk and read something at the same time. Great lesson there. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Dave in Virginia. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Am I on?
You are on the air, Dave.
Okay, so for taking my call, sir. First of all, let me say I lean conservative, but I don't know whether tax cuts is going to help us or spending is going to help us. But one thing that would help Americans all across the board, let's put term limitations on these congressmen and these senators. These guys, this experience that we've had has put us in the hole that we're in. If we could get rid of these guys having lifelong jobs instead and have term limits on them, we would knock out their immediate desire to go start campaigning and get reelected, and we cut out the special interest group, the lobbyists. They can't help them.
Yeah, well, there's the bingo is the last part of what you said, Dave. We do have term limits. They're called elections. But here's the problem. You're suggesting a solution, which is a solution to a symptom, not to a problem. And the problem is the pernicious influence of money in politics in the United States. It's a cancer. It is the cancer on our political system. And
I agree.
And forcing people every 2 years or 4 years or 6 years to get out of politics is only going to cause only those people who are so wealthy that they can afford to take a couple of years out of their lives and go into politics, knowing that they're going to have to get back out again to go into politics, A. And B, you're going to lose a lot of institutional memory, which can be a good thing. In many cases, if you've got good and honest politicians and they're in there for the long haul, they get to really know the issues well. That's a healthy thing for democracy. The problem is that these guys are so captive to the special interests, and they're so captive to them because elections are so expensive. So what we need to do is something very straightforward. We need to have some sort of a constitutional amendment or a law that in effect reverses the two Supreme Court decisions that have said that corporations are people and that money is speech, number one. So we can go back to the 1907 law that Teddy Roosevelt passed that puts corporations in prison or puts people in corporations in prison if that corporation gives money to a politician. So get the money in politics out of it, number one. Number two, possibly go to public financing of elections like we have here in the city of Portland. It works very well, and there's no special interest money. And number three, go back to programming in the public interest with regard to our public airwaves and say, you know, during election time, a certain amount, some reasonable and small amount of free television and radio time has to be given to political candidates right across the board. Oh, and number four, I'd say move forward toward instant runoff voting, IRV, so that more than only two parties can participate. If we did those things, we wouldn't need term limits. Make sense?
Well, I agree, but we're not going to do those things, sir.
I think we can do many of those things, and I think that there's a growing consensus for them. And whereas the term limits is a quick fix that has been demonstrated not to work, you look at the states where they do have term limits, and it doesn't work, and you end up with ongoing dysfunctional democracy, and you end up, again, with the only people going into politics being the people who are very wealthy. And they go in, they start looking out for their own interests, and middle-class people get left behind. Dave, I got to move along, but your point is well made. I absolutely share your outrage about, you know, lifetime tenure in Washington, D.C., although I would say perhaps even worse is the revolving door, which is people leaving their job in Washington, D.C., and then going to work for the industry that they used to write laws about, or in some cases actually coming out of that industry and going into Washington, D.C., equally bad. Doug in Chicago. Hey, Doug, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I was listening to your conversation with Dr. Batra, and he mentioned the fact that corporate profits are too high. One of the things that's been bothering me, and even from personal experience, my fiance just got told that no raises this year in her right. company. And I looked at the corporate balance sheet, and they're predicting an increase in profit next year of 10 to 14% for the company.
Right, and no raises, so, by the way, is a 3 or 4% pay cut, because that's your rate of underlying inflation.
Exactly, and her benefit costs went up this year as well.
Yeah.
And so the CEO is going to still take home his big paycheck, and he's going to have all his shares vested, and the stock price is going to go up because they continue to increase their profit margin on the backs of their workers.
Yep.
And
yep.
We hear about all these layoffs from companies because, you know, oh, no, if we're laying off 5,000 people because our profit margin is down 30%.
Yep.
And, you know,
did you notice what happened?
Losing money.
Yeah, did you notice what happened last week, Doug, when the when it was announced that 596 or 590 some odd thousand people lost their jobs in the previous month? The stock market went up. Why is that?
Sure.
Because when working people get hammered, it's profitable for industry. Americans need to get it that what's good for the Wall Street is not necessarily good for most Americans. And, you know, it's just people don't get it. But your point is so well taken and so well said that this is, in effect, a pay cut for everybody except those who are compensated in large part with stock options. And guess who that is? So... And frankly, another thing that I would crusade, if you want to add a fifth thing to my list of how do we fix the American political scenery, actually this would be the American corporate scenery, let's make it virtually illegal, make it very, very expensive for a corporation to pay their executives with stock, because they need to behave in the interest of the corporation, not the stockholders.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Daniela Markheim is with us. She is the J. Van Andel Senior Analyst in Trade Policy at the Center for International Trade and Economics of the Heritage Foundation. The website, of course, heritage.org. Daniela, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Glad to have you with us. You are have been writing or blogging the web memo number 2256 over at heritage.org, Buy American Hurts America. I am frankly baffled by this. Why would it hurt the United States for us to have in the stimulus bill a language that essentially says if we're going to take American taxpayers' money and use it to put people to work or to buy things, those things must be made in the United States?
Well, it seems counterintuitive. It certainly sounds good, like a good idea when you sort of your first gut reaction to it. But when you start to think it through and you start to think about, first of all, what is the primary objective of the stimulus bill overall, and then the implication of Buy American on the ability for the stimulus package to actually achieve the goals that we're hoping it will do, which is namely create jobs, you have to take a step back from what seems like a good, solid patriotic response and good, solid use of American taxpayer dollars and look at what really brings the most value for each taxpayer dollar that is going to be spent in
the
bill.
Well, how does buying steel from South Korea or buying machine tools from China, when we could make either one of them here in the United States, how does that create American jobs?
Well, if you look at the impact Buy American would have on jobs, which is really, we're worried about all jobs. We're not just worried about certain jobs. Americans from all sectors, whether they're working in retail or the tech sector, also in manufacturing, are certainly hurting right now. So if the overall purpose of the stimulus bill is to boost jobs, we need to see whether or not buying steel from another country hurts or harms us in achieving that goal.
But isn't there a qualitative difference? I mean, during the Reagan 80s, we saw an increase in the number of jobs, and frankly, the Clinton 90s as well. I would put them both in this category, where we saw a decrease in high-paid manufacturing jobs, an increase in low-paid service sector jobs. You know, becoming Walmart greeters and salespeople at Walmart exploded, and working in the steel sector collapsed. And I would say that that qualitative difference in the pay of those jobs, it net-net harmed our economy because there was less money in the hands of American consumers.
Well, unfortunately, the loss of manufacturing jobs that has really occurred over the last couple of decades and is probably already predicted to continue on as we look ahead has been less as a consequence of trade and buying products from other countries than it has been our own improvements in technology and productivity. A lot of, especially when you look at manufacturing, these industries are very capital intensive. They use other machines in order to produce their products. Less so do they use labor. So we've seen a natural decline just as a direct effect of improving technology and productivity in that sector. Overall, though,
then why do we see literally millions? I mean, one estimate is over 30 million people in China employed in factories manufacturing goods exclusively for sale in the United States, and probably reflecting, because they're doing it in a more labor-intensive way in many cases in China than here, reflecting the loss of between 3 and 10 million jobs, depending on whose numbers you're using, here in the manufacturing jobs here in the United States.
Well, again, now if you look at manufacturing overall, we've lost workers, again, because of technology and productivity. What America does remain very competitive in are the more high value manufacturing products, whereas lower value manufacturing products that are more labor intensive, it is more competitive for China to produce these because their labor is cheaper.
Right, but I'm trying to get my head around this. From the 1950s until the 1980s, we had average import tariffs in the United States on the 20,000 items you cite in your article actually go back to Alexander Hamilton, 1791, when we first started putting tariffs on things. Our peak tariff rate actually was right after the War of 1812. It was 58% on imports. We right up until the 1980s, we had an average import tariff of in the 80s it got down to around 13%, but it had been in the 20s, in the high 20s through most of the history of the United States. It's now on an average 2%. Just over the last 30 years, as we've collapsed our import tariffs, we've seen all these jobs go overseas. And you're suggesting that it's an improvement in technology. It seems like we've had a steady improvement in technology since the early 19th century with the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. It's the improvement in technology has never, and there have always been Luddites saying, what, the steam engine is going to do away with our job. Well, sure enough, it did, and robots are going to do away with it. Sure enough, they did. There's always been improvements in technology. That's almost linear. But what the new phenomena, the new game in town is Reagan and Clinton, both of them, embracing the so-called free trade. Let's let the transnational corporations profit, and to hell with the American worker.
Yeah, but if you actually look at the average unemployment rate, for instance, before NAFTA was implemented, and you look at after the first 10 years after NAFTA created, the average unemployment rate was actually 2% less. And the reason why is that because trade also creates jobs. Trade doesn't just cost jobs. It's
no,
not
but that's my point.
Something.
Those jobs are qualitatively poorer. They're jobs at Walmart saying, would you like to buy some more of that Chinese stuff, rather than jobs making the stuff that we now import from China. Are they not? I mean, we're down. Every statistic I see, I'm seeing statistics from conservative think tanks that suggest that we're down 3 to 6 million manufacturing jobs over the last 20 years.
But
those are good paying jobs compared to working at Walmart.
But at the same time, we've not seen Americans' quality of standard of living fall. We're creating new jobs.
But we have. We've seen Americans go into debt. Americans in the last 20 years, debt in the United States, see, the average American right now is $7,900 in debt on their credit card and has less than 20% equity in their home. 30 years ago, when Reagan started this steamroller, the average American had less than $1,000 in credit card debt. In fact, some numbers less than $500 in credit card debt. And the average American had about 45% equity in their home. We're seeing Americans, as wages have single earner wages, I realize household income hasn't gone down because now we have two worker households. Half of all American children come home to an empty home every day. But as this has happened over this last 30 years, 28 years, as wages have gone down, what we've seen is that to make up for that lost income, people have been going into debt. So, yeah, the standard of living hasn't changed, but the structure underneath it has disintegrated.
But the reason for the increase in the amount of debt that households hold isn't, again, because of freer trade. It's because we've had very easy credit policies, very easy money, really since the 90s. And frankly, this is driven by policies, whether through the Fed or through investments or the way we tax savings. American households have really shifted to putting their wealth more into their homes and into their holdings of their retirement funds that are invested in equity. And yes, they're holding a lot of debt. But again, that's more of a consequence of our monetary policies than it is of having trade. To get back to the problem with Buy American on jobs is that we're going to end up losing more jobs than we might save as a consequence of Buy American because we don't operate or live in isolation. We are part of a global world, and we are a very big part of the global economy. So if we introduce measures through Buy American that's going to put up or erect protectionist barriers to trade, even if it's only just in government procurement, the potential for other countries to retaliate against us, hurting a large swath of our workers, is very meaningful and very significant. And really, when we come back down to it, we're talking about the effectiveness of the stimulus bill to create jobs. And the problem with the Buy American provision is it isn't going to give us that boost in jobs that we're hoping to get from the spending package overall.
Why not?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear anyone.
I'm sorry. I said, why not? If we're taking government money and we're buying things in the United States, how does that not create jobs in the U.S.?
It does create it might create jobs in the U.S. We can have different opinions on that. Assuming even that it does, though, it's also going to cost us jobs because if other countries who are spending just like we are, in order to try to boost their economies, preclude U.S. firms from being able to participate in those spending plans. And it's not just in the U.S. the government is stepping in to fill the role of consumers and businesses in consumption. This is happening globally. If we can't participate in those programs, then that really limits our firm's ability to actually...
Right. So you're saying that a collapse in international trade is going to hurt us, basically.
More than it would help us to protect... Yes.
Daniela Markheim, you can read all about it over at heritage.org. Thank you, Daniela, for dropping by today.
Thank you so much.
Good talking with you. It's 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with low monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-600-1983. You don't have to declare bankruptcy. Credit Answers represents the highest standards in the industry. We've already helped thousands of people like you save millions of dollars. Just give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help you live better, debt-free. Call for this valuable free information at 1-800-600-1983. That's 1-800-600-1983. 1-800-600-1983.
He's an outsider.
This is a demise of a civilization.
With an insider's perspective.
Demise of civilization? What are we talking about here?
Ron Reagan, evenings, 6 to 8.
Well, no wonder Bernie Marcos is so upset.
Affording people the chance to unionize so that they could get better wages and benefits would be the death of America.
Ron Reagan, right after Randy Rhodes.
You've got to wonder about these titans of capitalism. You got to wonder what's going on in their head.
AM 620 KVOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looks so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive, Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the hood of your car.
Hey, don't worry about your engine, because I got it covered.
Yeah, well, you are the hood, but I'm still going to my Ford dealer.
All right, road trip.
Yeah, the Works Fuel Saver package is only $29.95 or less after a mail-in rebate.
Peanuts.
Oil change, tire rotation, multi-point inspection.
I can't beat that. Although, I do know a guy.
No, thanks.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for $10 rebate details through 3/31/09.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit StaplesRewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at BeavertonLodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I think I'm an American, and proud of it. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you.
Baby, take off your coat. Real slow.
Yeah, David Vitter said that one time, maybe 2 or 3 or 10 or 20.
Baby, take off your shoes.
Apparently he said it enough that he got as a regular in the D.C. Madam's little black book.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
You can't leave your hat on.
Well, we don't know if Vitter asked his friends to leave their hats on or not. But tip of the hat to Stormy Daniels, the porn star or adult film actress, as you wish, who is thinking seriously about running against Senator Vitter, the Republican from Louisiana, when he's up for re-election. She says, I don't see how I could possibly embarrass him more than he's already embarrassed himself. Honestly, though, I'm not sure I'm willing to take the pay cut that comes with being a senator. So maybe David Vitter doesn't have anything to worry about. But, you know, speaking of boobs going to Washington, D.C., I guess. Anyhow, the Reagan prospect. Let's just go back to this Buy American thing. I just want to riff on this for a minute. The primary argument that is made, and it's made over at, and Daniela Markheim and I did not have an opportunity to, we kind of ran out of time to really get into it. And so I refer you, for her point of view, to her article, and you can simply read it over at heritage.org. But it's and she's not here to defend herself, so I'm not going to go after her specifically. But broadly speaking, the conservative meme on this, and by conservative, I am including Bill Clinton and the whole bunch of them in the Clinton administration who are all gung-ho for free trade and who continue to be, even in the Obama administration to a large extent, although we shall see how that one plays out. But the people who are the proponents of international corporate free trade, they don't want freedom for people. They don't want people to be able to cross borders easily and freely. You got to have a passport. You got to have a work visa. You got to have all that. But they want corporations to be able to cross borders easily and freely. They want money to be able to cross borders easily and freely so that corporations in the United States that used to hire people in the United States can shut down those factories and open those factories overseas, as we saw, for example, as Michael Moore documented in his movie Roger and Me, his very first hit back 25 years ago. I think that thing came out. It was in the 80s, and it's still worth watching. Where he's going after Roger Smith, the president of General Motors, going, why did you close 5 factories in Flint, Michigan, and then open a bunch of factories down in Mexico, basically back-to-back, what happened to our jobs? And the reason he did, obviously, was because it was the best thing for the stockholders. Wasn't the best thing for the employees. Maybe wasn't the best thing for the corporation. It's in a little trouble right now. But it was the best thing for the shareholders. It was all about making profits. Sometimes the best thing for the shareholders, though, isn't the best thing for the country. And we used to have trade policies in this country that protected American workers, that protected our country. And now we have trade policies that protect transnational corporations. And I say, I'm sorry, but my first concern is not the transnational corporations. And the big meme that these folks are throwing out there, the big thought virus that is running around, that they have been honking on and pounding on for the better part of 50 years or more, is that Smoot-Hawley, which increased tariffs in 1930. Now, this keep in mind, the position that I'm taking is the old Republican position, oddly enough. Smoot-Hawley was put into place by a Republican Congress and a Republican President, Herbert Hoover, in 1930. And in response, in part, to the stock market crash and the depression that started in 1929. And the stock market crash, by the way, came after a year of negative growth. The stock market crash was an indicator. It wasn't the cause. There had been a huge housing bubble and a huge credit bubble, which both burst in late 1928 and throughout 1929. And that's what caused the Great Depression. And the stock market crash was a symptom of it. But in any case, what Congress did is they took our average tariffs from in the mid to high 20s and kicked them up into the mid to high 40s on imported goods. Some items had tariffs as high as 50%. Some items, their tariffs were kept low. It was very selective, or broadly selective, at 20,000 items. But tariff rates were adjusted in broad categories. Now, at that time, imports represented 4% of the U.S. GDP. 4% of our economy was imports. Imports dropped to about 1% of GDP. So we had a 3% contraction of GDP. But the GDP overall dropped 50%. It had nothing to do with Smoot-Hawley. Increasing tariffs is not... Smoot-Hawley did not cause the Great Depression. It came along afterwards, and it didn't make it worse. In fact, I would say that it set the stage for keeping jobs in America, which created the recovery of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and we need to bring it back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2278.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. The story is out. Grimm, blogging over at the Huffington Post, talking about how when Tim Geithner and the Obama administration officials with him yesterday briefed Congress on what he was going to say today, they were greeted by both Democratic and Republican members of the House of Representatives, apparently, with laughter. The Dow is down 350 points right now. In response to this, this is putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. And, you know, the cancer is really serious and it's structural. There are a whole bunch of structural pieces that have been dismantled over the last 8 years that need to be put back into place. The SEC needs to have, first of all, the ability to regulate. This was never there because these instruments didn't exist. When Bill Seidman invented collateralized debt obligations back in the 80s when he put together the Resolution Trust Corporation to bail out the SNLs, he invented these things. He went to Greenspan and he said the Fed should have some oversight over this or the SEC should regulate this and was told no. That's not our philosophy. They're still not regulated. There's still no oversight. I mean, there's a whole variety of structural pieces that need to be put back into place. Nobody's talking about these things. Because the masters of the universe on Wall Street still want to make their billions and trillions, and their buddies and the folks at the Fed, you know, they're all invested in the system as it is, and the system as it is broken and needs to be redone from scratch. Anthony in Seattle, hey Anthony, welcome to the program. What's up?
Well, first of all, you're singing my tune with your debate with that lady about this. Globalism, this trade deficit nightmare that we have. I mean, to think that a 10-year-old chained to a dirt floor in China is going to compete with workers in this country, and we're going to have more jobs created is just absolutely. I don't know. It's a battle over our basic. Philosophy.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, you know, let me just share with you a moment. This is just a moment. Franklin Roosevelt in 1936 talking about this, because this is right to the point of what you're talking about, Anthony. And I know you want to get into net capital. We'll get to that in just a second. This is Franklin Roosevelt.
That very word, freedom, in itself and of necessity suggests freedom from some restraining power. In 1776, we sought freedom from the tyranny of a political autocracy, from the 18th century royalists who held special privileges from the crown.
So freedom is a freedom from being overpowered. Roosevelt says we've got new autocrats.
But since that struggle, man's inventive genius released new forces in our land, forces which reordered the lives of our people. The age of machinery, of railroads, of steam and electricity, the telegraph and the radio, mass production, mass distribution, all of these combined to bring forward a new civilization, and with it a problem for those who sought to remain free. For out of this modern civilization, economic royalists carved new dynasties. New kingdoms were built upon concentration of control over material things. Through new uses of corporations and banks and securities, new machinery of industry and agriculture, of labor and capital, all undreamed of by the fathers, the whole structure of modern life was impressed into this royal service.
So this is the kind of language that Obama ultimately is going to have to use if he wants to take these guys on. He's going to have to call them out as the new economic royalists, although he probably needs a new term. And, you know, in the 1880s, 1890s, they were called the robber barons. Roosevelt referred to them as the economic royalists, and point out that challenging them is the patriotic thing to do.
These economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain of is that we seek to take away their power. Our allegiance to American institutions requires the overthrow of this kind of power.
I mean, that's like language right out of the Declaration of Independence. It requires, we have a duty to overthrow this kind of power. So, Anthony, back to your point.
So, bottom line is that yesterday in President Obama's first briefing, a reporter got up and tried to throw out this, I hate this talking point where they blame the people that took out these subprime loans.
Right.
And he said, what's to stop this whole thing from happening all over again? And President Obama immediately nipped that at the bud, and he said, no, it wasn't because of the people that took out these subprime loans. It's things like this net capital rule where Hank Paulson proposed in 2000 at the beginning of the Bush administration and was passed in 2004, right. And the effect was to allow Wall Street to borrow 30-1. They can leverage themselves, these investments.
Right. For our listeners who don't know what the net capital rule is, what it was a rule that said that banks had to have reserves broadly speaking, many different kinds of institutions had to have reserves of, it was 10-1, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to get back to. That's
right.
And
they blew this apart. And in fact, in part, the Graham-Leach Bliley Act had a piece to play in that also in 1999, because they said that if a American company had an overseas holding company, that the net capital rule didn't apply to them at all. So that was the beginning of the dike breaking.
So bottom line is, I totally agree with what you're saying, but it needs to be President Obama and Tim Geithner at the bully pulpit, and they need to say, not only are we doing the stimulus package, but we're going to clamp down, starting with this net capital rule and just going from there with the tariffs and this whole – this.
But you didn't hear a word of that stuff from Geithner today.
No, not at all. And that's the problem. We've got this globalization that has failed. It has failed. And these people keep rolling it out and singing its praises as if it's, they're drunk on it. And it's just, it's absolutely ridiculously failed policy.
Yep, absolutely. Very well said, Anthony. Thank you very much. And they're drunk on the profits from it, because a few very large corporations are doing very well. Thank you very much. Scott in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tom. Thanks. I've got a picture of Roosevelt on my wall. I really admire that guy.
He was a good one.
Jobs. That is a real issue. More jobs, more jobs. And protectionism. I know you go back to the 37th Congress, of which President Lincoln, he was our president at that time. Mm-hmm. And they passed that, Pacific Railway Act. And in that act, they had that all iron used in that project, being the nail, furniture, tools, doesn't matter. That way they covered everything, mm-hmm. shall be the best quality and to be of American manufacturer.
Right. In other words, there was a Buy American provision in what was arguably the largest stimulus package of the entire 19th century, because building the railroads is really what built the infrastructure of American industry during the Lincoln administration.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, and if he hadn't been assassinated also, we may have been set down a different monetary road to a different monetary policy.
Yeah. He was very, very concerned about the bank. Well, it was in 1846. He was actually I have the story of this in my book, Unequal Protection. He got a paycheck when he was a lawyer, and he went in. I think it was 1846, the big panic. And he went in and he cashed it the same day he got it. And the next day the bank failed that the check was drawn against, that which was not uncommon in that time. Carol in Phoenix. Carol, we have just a minute here before the break. A quick one?
A quick one. Ravi Batra needs to get invited to Camp David. If Sasha's friend can get invited, he needs to be there, because Obama's surrounded by too many supply-siders, and somebody needs to really explain everything to him.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that Ravi Batra and there's a few others. You know, thank you, Carol, for that. You know, Bernie Sanders gets this stuff. Peter DeFazio gets this stuff. Russ Feingold gets this stuff. There's no shortage of progressives. In fact, the Progressive Caucus, with over 70 members, is about twice the size of the Blue Dog Caucus. There's no shortage of people in Congress who get this. The problem is that just try it. For example, go to Google and plug in Smoot-Hawley. And just try to get some information about, you know, what caused the Great Depression. And what you will find is all this right-wing conservative corporate propaganda. It is amazing how they are just carpet bombing, not just the airwaves right now with right-wing radio, but carpet bombing the Internet. You have think tanks now that 30 years ago were hiring people to be guests on talk shows. Now they're hiring people to be bloggers. Every time something gets posted, all these right-wing blog hits. They're paid for.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Hey, there are only 4 days left until Valentine's Day. This is the last chance to get flowers in time for the big day. Order now for Valentine's Day or it won't be pretty. ProFlowers has a last-minute exclusive offer just for my radio listeners, but you don't have much time left before Valentine's Day, so listen up. You choose 1 dozen red roses in a free ruby red vase or 2 dozen assorted roses in a free clear glass vase. Plus, each bouquet comes with free truffles for just $39.99. Don't wait to order. The big day is this Saturday, and supplies won't last. ProFlowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days, and ordering from ProFlowers is much easier and faster than standing in line at the florist. This is your last chance to get your roses and free vase and free truffles in time for Valentine's Day for just $39.99. Here's what I want you to do. Go to ProFlowers.com and find the radio microphone located in the upper right-hand corner. Click it and just type in my password, Hartman. That's ProFlowers.com, password Hartman. Or call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, that's 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS, and don't forget to use my password, Hartman, with 2 N's.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ, 620KPOJ.com.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about Geico? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to Geico last year. Second, Geico received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, Geico has been providing car insurance for over 70 years.
Whoa, hold up a tick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Mark, someone is staring at me.
What, like making eyes at you?
Yeah, I guess.
Where? Over there?
Oh, behind you. He's sort of small, like a little stack of money, and he has these big eyes, like googly eyes. He's staring at me.
You sound like you're sort of enjoying this.
Well...
That's it. No, I'm looking.
Oh!
What, that? That's the money we could be saving with Geico.
Geico. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Now's the time to call AquaCare. If you looked at your carpet lately, happens at my house too. Winter weather is here. The dirt and germs tracked in. And where does it end up? The carpet, of course. AquaCare has been at our house a couple of times. We love the way the carpets look and feel after. Call AquaCare today. Toll free 1-877-504-2104. That's 1-877-504-2104. They use a citrus-based all-natural cleaner, and your house smells great when they leave. You'll love the way the carpets look. 1-877-504-2104, AquaCare.
The Everything Green Oregon Expo will be coming to the Oregon Convention Center on February 14th and 15th. Discover your green alternatives to transportation, home improvement, yard and garden, technology, and much more. For more information, visit egoregon.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
That was a great movie, Slumdog Millionaire. That was just an extraordinary movie. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Former Congressman Bob Ney now with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, the website on the line with us. Bob, welcome.
Welcome. How are you doing?
Just fine. I'm curious, you know, you wear a news hat these days. You wore a political hat in the past. I'd love to hear your take from both perspectives on Tim Geithner's performance this morning in terms of style. I understand that yesterday when some of the stuff was presented to members of Congress, they actually got laughed at, and also in terms of substance.
Well, you know, on the substance, first of all, they're putting up a website, and this would be through Mr. Geithner and, of course, the administration, called financialstability.gov. And that is going to be a site where citizens can track where this money's going. So that substance.
That's a good thing.
That is a wonderful thing. And then, of course, he unveiled that he is planning to use at least $50 billion of the remaining $350 billion from last year's financial rescue law to prevent home foreclosures. And
that's a good thing.
And that's a good thing. And he's going to release the plans in a couple of weeks. Mr. Geithner will eventually learn dealing with Congress is like herding cats.
Yep.
And he'll do a lot of one-on-one with members to get established with them. You know, it's going to take a little time to do that. But the substance, I've got to tell you, a lot of good things. Really,
you think so? I'm concerned that, you know, it's too little, too late, and not enough. But and that some of the really big issues, like the net capital rule, for example, are not being addressed. Regulation in the first place of derivative instruments hasn't been addressed. There's a lot of things that are structural that concern me. But to the extent that, I guess, you know, to the extent that they can do something with the tools that they have, they seem to be using them well. How are the Republicans reacting to this?
Well, I think in general that they're going to get a break for at least a couple of weeks because you raise all the right legitimate points on this. But they've got a couple of weeks to come up with more information. And frankly, the last administration just shut the blinds on this thing. I mean, there was nothing.
Yeah.
So they're trying to recreate the wheel. But I've got to tell you, on Capitol Hill, there'll be a short fuse on the Democrat side if they don't come up with something in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The Republicans are lashing out. And I've got to tell you, the president and Congressman Steny Hoyer are not just sitting idle. They're, you know, they're striking back. But the Republicans are got their own problems. John Boehner got into a bad argument that just spilled publicly, I guess, at the retreat with Eric Cantor about they can't count votes correctly. So the Republicans have this whole problem. Now, the House Republicans are, you know, not happy, obviously, with the three Senate Republicans that just helped to pass the stimulus bill today. So I think they'll just remain complaining about the package. The Democrats, this is going to be an issue now with House Democrats versus Senate Democrats and how they're going to stake out their positions, because there's some substantive changes to this Senate bill, definitely.
That have been made or that are coming?
Oh, there's some changes that have been made, because the Senate bill has $70 billion for the AMT, you know, dealing with the tax issue. Now, on the
alternative minimum tax.
Yes, with the alternative minimum tax. And I'm sorry, I can go back to my old days where I used to just quote names, which I shouldn't,
sure.
Like CEO. And then the other thing is that there's $79 billion that was out there in the House version for the states. The Senate has that at $38 billion. Now, those are the state governors and the county commissioners around the country.
Right.
So those are some pretty big changes where the House and Senate Conference Committee, and it will be mainly, frankly, Democrats, will be talking. Denny Hoyer did quote today that he was a bit displeased with the fact that three Republicans said they won't negotiate. So that'll be a little bit of a wedge in there that I think the House Democrats will probably deal with those three Senate Republicans.
Yeah. The AMT, the alternative minimum tax, a tax that hits principally people making between $100,000 and $180,000 bucks a year, if I recall right. It's in that neighborhood. It's the high end of what in an urban area where it's really expensive to live might be considered the high end of the middle class. It seems to me that, you know, fixing the AMT, which we've been kind of doing piecemeal for a while, the whole thing just really needs to be completely reorganized, because originally it was supposed to be a tax on people who were wealthy and not paying any taxes. I mean, that was that was the goal of it. And over the years, because it wasn't indexed for inflation properly, it's been turned into this whack on folks at the high end of the middle class. People in that tax bracket, if they get that extra money, they're not going to go on spending binges. They're going to pay down their home equity lines of credit. They're going to pay off their credit cards. I mean, these are people that tend very often to be, you know, startlingly in debt.
That's right.
And I don't see where that's going to stimulate anything.
I don't think it'll have the effect, or also the real added benefit for the people that are really out there struggling and are trying to you know, feed the family and
right.
do something about education. It won't have the same effect. And the president alluded to that in Elkhart. I think it was. He made some statements at the town hall that talked about, certain people would get it and put it in the bank, and where other people would use it for their just basic living needs. And
right.
I think he differentiated that in the Elkhart town hall.
What's the inside skinny on what's going on in the debate within the economic debate within the administration between I want to call it the Robert Rubin faction, although Rubin's been largely marginalized, but let's say the old kind of Clinton free trade semi Greenspan group, you know, who think that, like, the net capital rule, for example, shouldn't be brought back, and those the Robert Reich crowd who think that, you know, there should be a much more aggressive role to be played by government.
You know, there is a raging, continuing debate. You know, the president's brand new, and a lot of issues, as he, you know, stated in his press conference, he'll take a look at it and he'll assess it. This is one of those that, you know, I don't think he has come down either direction on, but there's going to be the internal debate, because you're exactly right. Look, Rubin, when he was with President Clinton, was the driving force to make sure that the steelworkers could not get a 201 provision, which would have helped them with the unfair dumping from Russia, Brazil, and other countries. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then Rubin went on to make tens of millions of dollars as CEO of Citicorp. I mean, it's... Robert Rubin has got a lot to answer for, in my humble opinion. Bob Ney and Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Bob, thanks a lot for dropping by today. I always appreciate your insights. Truly do. It is 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back after the news at the top of the hour. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club. Providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at BetterWorldClub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Eric Weingartner on the line with us. He is the Vice President of Client Adoption for Monster Worldwide and the employment expert over at Monster.com. the job site or the help wanted site or the I want a job site. Not sure how you describe it, Eric. How would you describe it?
I would describe it as an online career management destination, Tom. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, great. 10,000 people being laid off by GM. UBS is laying off 2,000. Here we have 10,000 blue-collar jobs, boom, gone. 2,000 white-collar jobs, boom, gone. This is just the last 3 hours' worth of announcements. 6 million or 600,000 people lost their jobs in the last 30 days. What do they do?
I'll tell you, it's tough news when you keep hearing this over and over. I think it's important to note that even in this tough economy, companies have a critical need for the best talent. They're still experiencing turnover, and they are continuing to hire. In fact, with all of that news that's happening, there's still over 1 million job postings out there today on Monster. Those are real opportunities for real people.
So, okay, you got a million job offerings. You've got we've got what 20, arguably 20 million underemployed people. Short of going to Monster.com, what should people do if they are in the job market and freaked and desperate? Or even if they're not freaked and desperate, they're in the job market. What do they do?
Yeah, there's no question that it's all about standing out right now. You've got to make sure that you execute flawlessly on your plan. I also think it's important that people don't settle at this point, right? You've really got to make sure that you have a plan that you're working towards every single day. If you're out of work right now, your full-time job is getting that next job.
Regardless of the job?
Not regardless of the job. There's a path, right? So if you have to get that next job for the paycheck, we all have mortgages and rent, you want to make sure that you can see your way through that stepping stone.
Right. So getting the job at Starbucks may be the thing that's going to lead you to get the job as a rocket scientist, which is, your training. But you put together a plan to become, once again or, freshly out of college, that rocket scientist. What are the pieces of that plan?
Yeah, I an interesting exercise for people to go through right now, whether they're out of work or not out of work, is a career mapping exercise. And this is, people always say, Eric, how do I do that? What's the tool that I can use? And, we launched last month a Monster Career Mapping that's on our site that allows you to actually explore the real career paths of real people. So millions of people turn to Monster with their resumes, and a resume is nothing more than a lot of career paths together. So you can find the job that you're in that you may have just left or that you're sitting at your desk today wishing you weren't in, and you can say, how can I get from here to the next step? And what will happen with that tool is you'll be able to see that real people have done that before. I'm not worried about rocket scientists. I'm worried about accountants. Right, yeah. Someone who's an accountant today who thinks for the last 20 years they thought I'm going to be a controller, then I'm going to be CFO. Today they have the opportunity to say I'm an accountant today. How do I get to be a sales manager?
Right. No, I understand, but Eric, let me just put this right out front and bluntly. If this conversation is going to be an infomercial for Monster.com, we're going to end it.
Definitely
right
not.
Now.
Definitely not.
So the straight up answer to the question can't be go to Monster.com.
No.
I guarantee you a lot of people will as a consequence of your having been on the show. But what does somebody do short of how do you go about doing this?
What you've got to do is tailor your message specifically to the company that you're looking for. When you find the job, whether it's through networking, whether it's through a newspaper ad, whether it's through an internet site, whether it's through a friend that you have, what you've got to do is recognize that you're going to have competition for that job. You mentioned earlier 20 to 1. Mm. That you've got to really separate yourself from the crowd. Have your resume, have your cover letters, and not old school. Right? It's really about how do I stand out from the second a recruiter finds me. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is it's about flawless. Execution.
So how do people stand out? What are some of the things that a person can do?
first thing, if you've got an online resume today or you don't have an online resume today, you got to step back from it and understand how does a resume get found, right? And there are databases out there with millions of people in them. And what you've got to do is use the employer's language. And employers are recruiters, guys like me, who are banging on databases and are looking at hundreds of resumes for every job. And what you want to do is know the language I speak, Tom, and know that you've got to have the same language I use to describe my job opportunity also lined up in your resume profile. So when you're sitting there and you're reading through all these job descriptions, if that word applies to you and you say, I can do that, but it's not on your resume, you got to get it on there because it's going to be about keyword optimization that gets you noticed. Your whole goal is to get a recruiter's eyes on your resume.
Right, whether that word is enthusiastic or whether that word is a technical term that has to do with a particular industry.
You know, it's more important that it's not enthusiastic. It's about, let's use the example of a sales representative. I can be a sales rep, and I can call myself an account executive. I can call myself an account manager, a sales rep, a sales representative. My goal is to make sure all four of those are on your resume. Because if not, there's just this clear and obvious disconnect between what a recruiter is looking for and what you have on your resume. It has nothing to do with how enthusiastic you are or how qualified you are for the job.
A good friend of mine is unemployed and has been for a year and a half banging on doors really, really vigorously. And one of the problems that he comes up against is that he's overqualified for a lot of jobs. And this is the larger one, I suppose, is that in most cases it's impossible to actually physically get in front of, or maybe even electronically get in front of, the person who actually has the power to make the decision. How do you leapfrog into that line? How do you get to the person who actually has the ability to make the purchase or the hiring decision?
You raise a great issue that is a part of the recruiting process of today. It starts with someone in HR, or it starts with the recruiter at a firm. But keep in mind, there's great ways for you to actually find out who has that job, and networking is still incredibly powerful. Know that it's going to be very difficult, Tom, to get to a hiring manager if you completely bypass HR or that recruiter. It's more about making sure that you're being aggressive about getting in front of them and staying top of mind. You know, I've seen examples of it work both ways, where, you go through the process and you never make it to the hiring manager, or you go to the hiring manager but you circumvent HR and both end up bad. The trick is going to be balancing both of them.
We're talking to Eric Weingartner, VP over at Monster.com. Eric, up until this point, we've been talking about companies that have HR departments that are fairly large corporations. What if you want to get a job with a smaller company, a mom and pop shop, or a company that's got 10 or 12, 15 employees? Is the best way to approach them simply to go knock on their door and physically show up?
Cover all the bases, Tom. Yeah, I'm not opposed to stopping in. You know, a well-informed consumer, if this company has something to sell you and you're a customer of theirs, make it known that you would love to work there. Or tell me about your job. That's a great way. Get an entrepreneur talking about their business. That's a great connection. Mm-hmm. But also know that employers of all sizes are out there when they're hiring talent. They want to have the best talent. Sometimes they just don't want to settle for the small network that they have. So you want to make sure that you're covering all the bases, particularly if you're out of work. I'm not also opposed to going with temporary agencies and trying out multiple jobs, being able to figure out, does this work for me? So it's about doing everything that you can do.
We have a lot of kids who are graduating from college or from high school right now and finding that there are no jobs for them, and they can't, outside of grades, pretty much can't say, I'm the best qualified for this job, because their qualifications are purely academic. What do they do?
It's a tough time to be coming out of the employment market, or coming out of college and into the employment market. I think that you've got to tell a story, right? You've got to tell about all of the academic achievements that you have, because employers, particularly as we look at the largest employers, they're worried and concerned about the pipeline. What happens in 4 years or 5 years? Where's my bench? They're still, as you mentioned, they're still cutting because they have to. We've got to keep our organizations moving forward, or we have no one to hire or no one to employ. But I think you still want to be able to tell the story, just like we all had to do when we left college, to say, why should you take a chance on me? This is the other piece that you have to worry about there, is that someone with a degree with 5 years of experience is willing to take your entry-level professional job as well. So that's much more important, that you stand out from the crowd. Not going to walk in there and say, and I need a $75,000 starting salary in my corner office.
What about internships?
Internships.
Is this just, you know, the new form of slave labor in a trap, or is this really a good entree into a job?
It's always a great entree into a job. I can tell you that I personally have hired three people on my teams over the years that have started as interns that really were able to come in and not do the job as I pitched it, but do the job as they envisioned it. Even if your opportunities are non-compensated, as we say, free, right. those are actually not the norm within larger companies. But certainly looking at companies want to have a path for you, and they want to be able to bring you into their organization so that the exercise is beneficial on both ends.
Yeah.
Still tough, very tough.
Yeah, interesting conversation. Eric Weingartner, he's the VP of Client Adoption for Monster Worldwide and an employment expert over at Monster.com. Of course, the website, Monster.com. Eric, thanks for dropping by today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Good talking with you. 866-303-2270, our phone number, TomHartmann.com, for our live free chat room, AirAmerica.com, our live free video stream. We'll be back with more on the economy.
This is the Tom Hartmann Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartmann, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
The most progressive 3 hours of local radio you'll hear all day.
Elliott's Hardware has appealed to former President George W. Bush to spend his newfound retirement working as a part-time greeter.
We guarantee it.
Carl Wilson and friends.
Can you tell me where the rakes are?
Weekday 6 to 9.
I'm disappointed. There are no rakes. It's not an error that the store has no rakes, but we are disappointed.
Carl Wilson and friends. Weekday 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-993-1669.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and, wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-993-1669. That's 1-800-993-1669.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know that right now you could be paying too much for your life insurance? It's true, because right now term life insurance is at its lowest rates in years. So you could be saving money. How much? At SelectQuote, we shop and compare for you. So a 40-year-old man in excellent health could get a 10-year, $500,000 term life policy for under $19 a month. That's right, $500,000 of term life for under $19 a month. How much could we save you? Give us a call. 1-800-600-1312. At SelectQuote, we've helped hundreds of thousands of Americans do what's right for their families. And save money. We're here to help you, too. So, want to save money on your term life insurance fast? Go to SelectQuote.com or pick up the phone and get your free quote. 1-800-600-1312. That's 1-800-600-1312.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Drop on by. TomHartman.com is our the website where you'll find our free live chat room. AirAmerica.com for our free live video stream. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And we get mail.
It's nice when the postman has a letter in a sack for you. Because the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through.
Indeed. And this, over on our website at TomHartman.com, we actually have a telephone number posted where people can leave audio messages for us. Here's our mail for the day.
Hello, Tom. My name is Scott Anthony. I'm calling from Pacifica, California. And I love your show. I love your mind. I just wanted to make one comment. The singular of species is species. So when you're talking about animal or plant species and you want to talk about just one, be sure to use the word species and not specie, because that's a form of currency or coinage. Anyway, thank you. I hope someday I'll call you live on the air. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Scott, and thanks for the mail that we got.
Oh, it's nice when the postman has a letter in a sack for you.
There you go. Yeah, nice, and nice to have the refresher course. It's been a lot of years since I took Biology 101. And let's see, kingdom, phylum, order, no, anyway. Thanks for the refresher on Latin as well. I had 2 years of Latin. You'd think I'd remember this stuff. Joan in Michigan. Hey, Joan, what's up?
Hello. I read an article in the Detroit Free Press last week that I thought might be of interest and spur other counties to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Macomb County here in Michigan, some of the cities and villages and townships have said they are going to deposit the tax money they collect on property taxes into local banks and not the big conglomerate banks that they usually use, so these local banks can send the money out to and loan the money out to local people who really need loans. Mm. And I thought that was very commendable, and I thought that maybe more cities and townships would be able to do that.
Especially in those few where there are still local banks left.
Yeah, there are a few.
Yeah, there are.
And in fact, my family, we're transferring all our accounts to local banks.
Yeah.
We're through with the big guys. But about free trade, I would like to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was initially in favor of free trade because I thought that we would play from a level playing field where our laws would be the same throughout the world, and we would try to raise the standard of living of other people,
right,
and raise their human rights and other and work standards. And instead, the exact opposite is happening. What we have to do is trade with people only who have OSHA standards, obey human rights, pay living wages. We have to have some rules.
Yeah, well, Joan, I would take it even beyond that, because a living wage in Cambodia might be 80 or 90 cents an hour, a buck and a half an hour, and somebody can live and have a, you know, according to the local standard, living a decent life on that, and you can't in the United States, and so you can't compete against that. Cambodia should have its own internal strong economy, and we should have our own internal strong economy. International trade in general should be, you know, I think with any country, what every country should do is try to keep trade below 10% so that they have a strong industrial infrastructure and a strong internal economy. When during the 20s, international trade was only 6% at its peak of our GDP, and that was a historic peak through the last, you know, through the previous 150 years. And I'm not sure what the number is now, but it's a whole lot higher than that. And that, I think, is a mistake. I think that and as you point out, and Joan, thank you for the call. As you point out, it was sold to us by by Clinton, by appealing to our better nature, by saying, well, let's raise up the rest of the world. I'm sorry, the rest of the world, you've got 6 billion, 7 billion going on, 7 billion people in the world, and 5 billion of them are living on a dollar a day. If you raise them all to the standard of living of an Appalachian poverty-level family of four of $11,500 a year, you'd need four planet Earths just to provide the raw materials. It's physically impossible. It ain't going to happen. What's this you handed me, Louise? Oh, taxonomy. I remember taxonomy. Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. There you go. Yeah. I used to actually know a mnemonic for that. But, what is the mnemonic is on there? No, that's kangaroos play cello. Oh, there it is. Kangaroos play cellos, orangutans fiddle, gorillas sing. So all you have to do is come up with a picture of kangaroos playing cellos, orangutans fiddling, and gorillas singing, and I think that's pushing it. Anyhow, we're going to have to take a break in just a second, so I don't want to get a caller on here with just, you know, 10 seconds to go, but I want to drill this point home. This is so important. Smoot-Hawley did not cause the Great Depression. It did not even necessarily make it worse. At the very worst, it slowed things down a little bit, but by protecting our economy, by protecting our workers, we do a service to our nation. It does not help our country when a company in the United States can set up a factory in China, manufacture goods, ship them back to themselves, and we call that international trade. Yet that's 40% of all our international trade.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, shame on you, Reaganomics. I don't know where else to take that. Welcome back, 34 minutes past the hour. Barack Obama, today, down in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida, talking about, you know, the situation, the economic situation here. In Fort Myers, unemployment has gone from 2.3% in 2006 to 10%, and they have a foreclosure rate of 12%. That's what, about one out of every nine homes is in foreclosure? Highest rate in the nation. And Barack Obama takes a question at this live town hall event. And again, he's not filtering people. You don't have to get tickets. You don't have to prove you're a good party member like during the last 8 years in order to get into one of these things. Everybody's invited. And so here he is.
Lady's been waiting very patiently. And she's just been standing there and making me look all guilty. You know, so go ahead. Here, you've got the microphone right behind you.
Thank you very much. I first want to say I respect you and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you.
I've been praying for you, but
I believe in prayer, so I appreciate that.
I have an urgent need on unemployment and homelessness, a very small vehicle for my family and I to live in. We need urgent, and housing authorities have 2 years waiting lists, and we need something more than the vehicle and the parks to go to. We need our own kitchen and our own bathroom. Please help.
Well, I listen, what's your name? What's your name?
It's Henrietta Hughes.
Okay, Ms. Hughes, well, we're going to do everything we can to help you, but there are a lot of people.
At this point, he walks down off the top of the stage, down into the audience and gives her a hug.
People like you.
He's hugging her.
And we're going to do everything we can. All right, but I'll have my staff talk to you after this, after the town hall. All right? All right.
See, his strength, Barack Obama's strength, is this one-on-one or one-on-100,000 or one-on-200,000. Just like Franklin Roosevelt's strength was his fireside chats. And Obama needs to be out there, you know, if I were advising him on his strategy with regard to the Republicans, I'd tell him to stop inviting these bozos over for to watch the Super Bowl in the White House. And in fact, stop even talking to them. And be out every single day somewhere else in the United States talking to people like Henrietta Hughes and letting those video clips be out there and let people see the real impact of this and let them see how he's addressing these you know very real problems that we have. You know, I as critical as I may have sounded today about Timothy Geithner, I have a lot of problems with and questions about Geithner. I share some of the same concerns Bernie Sanders does, which is the reasons why Bernie did not vote for his confirmation and why I would not have either. But he is our Treasury Secretary now, and he has to do at the very best he can. And there is little doubt in my mind that Barack Obama, the President Obama, is interested in doing the very best he can. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind, frankly. And at a certain level, it's only going to happen if we get behind him and we push him and we encourage them. And, you know, I'm telling you that right-wing radio is on a rage right now. They're on an absolute rant to have people call their members of Congress and try and shut this thing down. The Republicans are doing the very best they can. What, 40% tax cuts now in this deal? In other words, 40% of the stimulus is not going to stimulate a damn thing. Why would they do that? Because they don't want it to work. They want Obama to take the credit for this thing and for it not to work, and it won't over the short term. I mean, there will be it's a start, and it's a decent start, but it's just a start. And this is gonna play out one of two ways. Either it's gonna break down that it's not working the way it should, and we're continuing to slide in. This is a given, by the way. Over the next year and a half, at the very least, things are gonna continue to get worse. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of opportunity out there. That doesn't mean that there aren't, in fact, frankly, I think that this whole thing presents us with an enormous opportunity to reinvent America and reinvent capitalism and reinvent our economic system. And to learn from what Sweden has done and what Denmark has done and what, you know, the Northern European countries have done as countries all over the world are. And to learn once and for all that when we do what Reagan and Thatcher did, we end up like the United States and England right now in the toilet. So, you know, there's tremendous possibility here. But here's the problem. Over the next year and a half, it's going to continue to get worse because all these layoffs right now that are happening, these 600,000 jobs that were lost last month, probably going to be another 500,000 this month. It's going to continue for a while. And it's going to be 6 months to a year before those people find jobs. And it's going to be 6 months to a year before many of those people have wiped out their credit and start going into foreclosure on their homes when it really starts looking bad. So you can build a strong case that we're not going to hit the bottom of this thing for at least a year to a year and a half after the date that the unemployment figures stop climbing and go to zero. In other words, employment starts going net positive. When that happens, then a year and a half down the road, that's when you're going to see the real recovery. So, bottom line, because we're not going to have an instant result, one of two things is going to happen. This is going to play out one of two ways. Either the American people are going to become convinced that Obama's package didn't work, that his philosophy was the failure, that he should have done what Herbert Hoover did, he should be listening to Rush Limbaugh, and the Republicans are going to come back into power 18 months from now when the elections are held for the House of Representatives and for a third of the Senate, which in my opinion would be a disaster for America. One of Gordon Brown's associates, Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of England, one of his close associates is warning the United Kingdom right now that fascism is right around the corner. That with a bad economy, the danger is that the fascists will come out and they'll say, we can solve the economic problems. We did it with Mussolini. We did it with Hitler. And they were trying. They were knocking on the doors in the 1930s here in the United States and in the UK as well. So either A, when it doesn't work, at least it doesn't work as well as it should, Obama gets blamed, or B, it'll be like Franklin Roosevelt's first term. Franklin Roosevelt was sworn into office in 1933, and in the elections of 34, things were just bottoming out. This is a year later, year and a half later, November 34, things were as bad as they would get. It was the worst, the bottom, the worst of the Great Depression. And people at that point, instead of saying, oh, look, at Roosevelt hasn't solved our problems in 18 months, they said, and not without a little help from Roosevelt, frankly, as you heard earlier in the program, they said, the Republicans got us into this mess. I'll be damned if we're going to give them more power and give them more seats in the House of Representatives and the Senate and make this mess even worse. So it's going to be played out. It's going to be won or lost, not in the real economy, but in the press, in the minds of people, in the media. And that's going to be, particularly given how corporate our press is now, a lot of the things Franklin Roosevelt said back in the 30s, I don't think, frankly, our corporate press would even cover today. They would not even run the clips of him saying those things. So it's going to be real, real interesting to watch this whole thing play out. Greg in California. Hey, Greg, what's on your mind today?
Hello. I have questions about torture. You know, Obama, I think you mentioned torture last night, but Leon Panetta, as you reported in the L.A. Times on Saturday, he says that we will continue using renditions to other countries, and he will seek assurances, quote, that they will not be treated inhumanely.
Right.
So that seems contrary to what Obama's policy is, you know. But I wonder, is there some law, that international law, that we cannot bring people back here for a fair treatment and trial?
No, there's not. Well, actually, it would depend on the individual case, whether somebody could be arrested and extradited in some other country. And we don't have the authority to arrest people in, I think, the vast majority of other countries, perhaps all other countries. But with regard to Leon Panetta, I've been watching this thing and his, for example, saying we were rendering people to other countries to torture them, and then his pulling back from that. Keep in mind, he's going through his confirmation hearings. This guy's got to be walking on eggshells right now. Wait until after he's confirmed. I'm not going to criticize Leon Panetta before he has the power. If once he has the power, he screws up, I'll be at the front of the line. But, you know, we all saw this. We saw this with Alito. We saw it with Roberts. The conservatives get this. They go the wink, nod, nod, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. Oh, yeah. He's going to think very carefully. He's not going to, you know, but they know what's going on. I think Panetta's going to be a good guy. Kim in San Francisco. Hey, Kim.
Hi. Regarding the whole trading with China thing, memories are short. I sometimes think we just don't even remember Tiananmen Square, and that the idea that we should compete with China's system is as if we are giving a tacit approval to that brutal system.
Yes. In fact, ever since we started trading with them, we stopped calling them Communist China.
Oh, exactly. But that's what your book talked about is, what is it, renaming them or branding
yep.
them?
Yep,
or
branding,
something?
Framing, yes.
Yeah,
so. And that's exactly right. Once China became profitable for American corporations and the boards of, and Kim well said, thank you, and the boards of directors of some of the largest manufacturing companies in America are interlocked with the boards of our media corporations. Go to theyrule.net. You can see it all laid out. You can just plug in any of the corporations and look at how they're interrelated to others. In my book, Unequal Protection, I actually have a page and a half where we start with, I think, AT&T or IBM, and go through 100 corporations and end up back at AT&T or IBM, whichever company it was. You know, the entire circle. And ever since it became profitable for that circle, we stopped calling Communist China, and we stopped talking about how brutal our system is as they continue to murder people every day.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142. 1-800-900-3142.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch? This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Well, I'm going to the river, take a rocking chair. Blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
9.5 minutes before the hour, and I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but offering coupons for porn to Comcast users seems like probably a pretty good business decision from the point of view of the porn provider. Remember during the internet, there was a station, not the internet, the Super Bowl, excuse me, there was a station that, I don't know if they got it off the internet or what, but they were playing some porn. instead of a commercial for a minute, a little less than a minute. And then they rudely interrupted the porn and went back to normal programming. Well, the company that was that produced that porn is offering a free discount, $10 coupon, to anybody who subscribes to Comcast. So, interesting. That's called seeing an opportunity and going for it. Rebecca in Ithaca, New York. Hey, Rebecca, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Great show. I try to listen every day.
Thank you. What's up?
Well, one of the things I do here on our local stations is I flip back and forth between you and Rush Limbaugh, which is a really interesting mind-bending experience. And he uses the term elitist all the time. And I just wanted to say that I think an update of the term economic royalist would be economic elitist, and we need to use that against the right.
That's an excellent suggestion. I've been looking around, trying to get a handle on, trying to hear the good sound for a new phrase, economic or economic elitists.
Yep. Economic elitists. We need to just keep hammering it home. The way that Obama says failed economic policies, we need to follow that with, and the Republicans and the right are economic elitists.
Right, and they are the economic elite. Well said. Rebecca, thank you very much. I very, very well said. Cassie in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Cassie, what's up? Cassie? No, Cassie. Pat in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on Nova M. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Mike.
What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You're a true patriot, looking out for the middle class.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, the point I want to make, Tom, is on this debate about using American goods and American workers and stuff for our tax dollars and the stimulus package.
Right.
Some are afraid we're going to ruffle the feathers of these other countries, including Canada and China and all of them. The good question, I think, that should come up and hasn't been talked about is, when they do their infrastructures with their tax dollars, how often do they use our material, our pipe, our steel, our fixtures, and so forth?
Right.
If they can show me that they're using buying our stuff made in the United States, then they've got a real cause there. But if they can't show me
that, China's buying our trash. We're exporting cardboard and pulpwood to China. And, you know, those ships, but most of those ships are going back. Yeah, whoopee, exactly. That's the point. We have, see, the definition of a first world country, of a fully developed and industrialized country, is a country that imports raw materials, manufactures goods out of them, and exports finished products. That was the United States up until the 1980s when Reagan turned this thing upside down. We have gone from being, in 1981, when Reagan was sworn in, the largest importer of raw materials and the largest exporter of finished goods on planet Earth, to the exact opposite. We are now the largest importer of finished goods on planet Earth, and we are the largest exporter of raw materials. We've got mines all across the central, the northern states, you know, the northern tier of states, from gold mines to nickel to copper, iron up in the Upper Peninsula, that are not even owned by Americans anymore. More than 50% of our mining industry is owned by foreigners. They're mining our precious metals and base metals and whatnot, and shipping that stuff overseas. And it's like we don't even own our resources anymore because we've gone so badly in debt with you know almost $1 trillion a year trade deficit. All these other countries, people in these other countries end up with dollars. The only place they can spend dollars is here. And so what do they do with them? They're buying us up. Excellent point, Pat. And it's got to change. Economyincrisis.org, by the way, great website for this kind of information. Michael in Los Angeles. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Yes, Tom, I'm a big fan. I just wanted to bring up the most recent Roevian talking point from the Republicans that's made me most angry. It's something I think that I'd like to hear what other Democrats think. It's the term they've been using since Michelle Malkin brought it up a few days ago, generational theft, referring to the stimulus package. And it's been brought John McCain used it on the Sunday talk shows, and John Boehner's using it in Congress. And I think it's a scandal because if any party is responsible for generational theft and the transference of wealth, it's the Republicans.
Well, it would be Reagan, you know, because the up until 1981 or 82, up until 82, the way Social Security worked was the payments that were going out from Social Security came in from people currently working. So the currently employed were paying for those who were receiving Social Security benefits.
But what about
in 82? In 82, Reagan made a fundamental change that I think most Americans don't know about. He said the generation that is, you know, starting in 82, that's working in 82 and that will be retiring in 2012 and beyond, that generation, the boomers basically, that generation is not only going to pay for the retirement of their parents, but we're going to create a savings account called the Social Security Trust Fund, which didn't exist before.
Right.
And that generation is going to put money into that savings account, and they're going to pay for their own retirement as well.
But
and
isn't
then
the bulk
when,
of the debt also Republican?
Yeah, and then the
right.
Well,
so that
in
also
fact,
is the yeah, and, the mortgaging and, of the future.
So, yeah, absolutely. So,
so that, that, that
and in
that
fact, what he did was he,
outrageous.
Yeah, and what he did, what Reagan and Greenspan did, was once they created that Social Security Trust Fund, because Reagan's tax cuts were killing the budget. And they were just killing the budget, not to mention the economy. They started taking money from that Social Security Trust Fund, which is money where the boomers were paying not just for their parents' retirement, but for their own retirement, and borrowing that money off the books, putting it in the general fund. And this
right.
is a process that it continues to this day,
and
by
I think
the way.
The Democratic leaders need to say something about this, because I don't think they should allow it to go into the national conversation. So.
Yeah, well said. Michael, thank you very much. I, you know, the whole generational debt thing was a meme that had slipped by me. That's very interesting. I didn't realize it started with Michelle Malkin. Thanks for the tip. I will be paying closer attention. Whew. Thanks for, so much for being with us today. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Tomorrow, Dan Gaynor, and Valentine's Day. How to love like a hot chick? Well, that should be entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartmann Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmannRadio.com.